Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. And Doc, we're right in the middle of an exciting series, actually a helpful series to me and I think to many of our listeners, entitled Trusting God Through Personal Trials. And we began this series in our last broadcast, and those of you catching the broadcast for the first time today can go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org, and download the first broadcast that we did in this series, Trusting God Through Personal Trials. But we began, Doc, by noting that in every one of our lives, there oftentimes comes a day unlike any other day. In fact, we looked at the life of Job and referenced that. There was a day like this in Job's day, a day that kind of changed everything for him, where he went from living a certain kind of a life to everything being up in the air. And we talked about that happening, for example, in the national life of a country, for example, in our day, Pearl Harbor, or the day JF Kennedy was shot, or 9/11 for those of us in our generation, and coming to realize that there are oftentimes those kinds of days in our own life. And we talked about how God uses those days to conform us to the image of His Son. But you ended the broadcast with some very helpful counsel that you developed out of your own life and that you give to people when they are in this kind of a day. And we're calling those, for lack of a better thing, the four A's to help us through personal trials. And I wonder if maybe you could summarize those. And I'd like to get right into the first one of those.
Well, number one, we said acknowledge. This is indeed true. Number two, accept. That often is a longer process. Number three, adapt, knowing I'll never wake up and know what I've known.
Mm-hmm.
That which is common is no longer here.
Right.
Everything has changed. So I have to adapt. And then thirdly, accelerate. I don't look back anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward. And I don't do like some would, just hang on and hang on and let bitterness literally eat them apart. And as a Naomi circumstance,
mm-hmm.
could not accelerate from the point because she acknowledged what had happened, but she could not accept it. And so she never adapted. And finally, through Ruth coming, that was a whole turn of events. God in His grace had shown that. So we want to take these one at a time.
Well, we begin then with what you started out with, and that is when we get that phone call, or when that event happens that changes everything, the first thing that we have to do is often the hardest thing, and that is to acknowledge that it really happened, that this is the new reality.
Well, you and I were in a hospital room in Green Bay, do you remember, with parents holding the mm-hmm. hand of a daughter who, for all practical purposes, was already in the Lord's presence. It was just a matter of the machines being turned off. And yet seeing the parents holding the hand of the child, honey, you can make it. A girl who was within a few weeks of graduating, going to China to the mission field, a girl in whom they had poured themselves. And I shared these four A's, as you recall, at that hospital mm-hmm. bed, in that mm-hmm. hospital room. It was a mainstay to help focus Godward. We have all had these circumstances come into our life where we acknowledge this indeed is true. This is not a dream. This indeed is reality.
And I think that, you know, you use the word dream. It does seem like a dream at first, a nightmare kind of dream.
Yes, that this cannot be true. I remember a dear, dear friend of ours. In fact, his stepson is on our staff. And they were supposed to meet us for a couples conference that Charlene and I were doing in Detroit. In fact, we watched the news and saw the accident on the news, didn't know who was involved. But one of my best friends in this world was killed in that accident, broadsided by a teenager had stolen a car up in Pontiac, Michigan, going 90 miles an hour. And they pulled out in front, kind of in a real enclosed building circumstance, and got broadsided and snapped into eternity. I didn't know who it was till we got over to my brother's house the next day where we were going to meet them. And Earl said, "You didn't hear what happened." And I said, "No." I said, "Charlie's with the Lord. Charlie went home last night." And that was Charlie in that accident. I literally fell down on my legs gave out. I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those things. This was a dear friend. This was not a family member, but he was like
a
brother to us because he had lived so closely with us in that circumstance. And you're there for a while. I didn't hear that correctly. oh, Charlie is going to show up. This is not what I really heard.
Sometimes those things come and we've had a little warning. You know, maybe there's been an extended illness and we've had time to mentally prepare, but oftentimes some of these things come out of the blue. The illustration you and I were talking about at the beginning of this broadcast when we stood in that hospital room with this mom and dad, that came out of the blue for them. They were fully expecting just in a few weeks to be up here, but not for that purpose,
right,
for a graduation. And they got a phone call out of the blue, and everything changed.
Yes.
And that happens to us at times.
It does. I remember we were in an educator conference, and I had a note handed to me on the platform that there had been a double homicide. Some folks that we knew were involved in it, and we thought that someone had broken into the church and shot two of the staff people. But we found out that it was actually the pastor's wife and daughter who were involved. And I remember I got home Monday, and it ended up to be quite a very, very devastating circumstance. And I could only sympathize with the pastor. How do you call in a circumstance like that? Well, he called me that Monday and just wanted to talk. And I shared these four A's with him. And because of the circumstances, it's like he said, I'm still in shock. This was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. This is 4 days later. He was still in the acknowledging stage. He was still thinking, did this really happen? Did my wife do what she did? Did this really happen? And I am now without a wife and a daughter. And so I listened. And he said, I went outside. He said, I just screamed up into the air and screaming. Mm. He was a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
This man had a very, very powerful ministry. And God is using him again, but it was a long recovery process. There's an accelerating going on now, but it was a long recovery process that was going on.
And I think you said a really important thing. I want to make sure we lay out for our listeners. This was a godly person. This wasn't coming as a result of chastening. This was coming within the will of God for his life as a godly person. And I think that's what's hard for us when we're trying to live for God. We're reading our Bible. We're serving him. We're being faithful in local church. Sometimes in the back of our mind, we kind of think that those things kind of put us in a safe category where things like this won't happen to us.
Right.
And then they do. And then, boy, the struggle is, wow, how do I deal? Is this, like you're saying, is this really real? And that's where the acknowledgement is so important.
Yeah, and acknowledging involves a fact. This is indeed a fact. I remember when I got word that our 17-year-old single daughter was pregnant. And it was like, I can't believe this. How can this be? And you stand there and there is a long thinking process. This is a fact. Along with that fact is a lot of frustration, and along with those frustrations comes a lot of fears.
Right.
What next? How? What was this? And so here, while you're thinking, your mind is racing 1,000 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I preached for 20 years in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Illustrated it. Enjoyed preaching it, enjoyed taking text apart, enjoyed these kind of things. Now suddenly I was confronted with the fact I had to acknowledge something that was indeed true. Okay, the fact is there. The frustration certainly was there, and the fears certainly were there, because I think these are three things that go along with that acknowledgement step.
Yeah.
And what did Job do? Job said in Job 3:25, what did it say? In fact, why don't you read that, Job 3:25?
This is an incredibly powerful passage, particularly in what we're talking about, in the life of a godly man.
Yes.
Who faced him unbelief. By the time we get to 325, he's lost all of his children, he's lost all of his wealth, and he's lost his health.
And his friends.
And his friends are coming to comfort him.
Yes.
And they offer some incredible, the kind of counsel you hope you don't ever get. But here's what Job said, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me."
What was he doing here? He was acknowledging that which was a fear, the what if. And then the phrase greatly feared. So Job would offer sacrifices just in case his kids were doing something that were not right. He would be concerned about them partying, and he would be offering sacrifices. But he said, how do you talk to a man who God hedged in? Verse 23. In other words, my life was hedged in.
Protected.
And then God opened the door, and the hedge was gone, because God trusted Job enough to prove Satan wrong. And all of the presuppositions, and these are some of the frustrations you deal with, because all of the presuppositions that people take, and Job's friends did. Job, you're hiding sin, admit it. The quicker you get honest, the quicker God can bless you again. And you know what I'm saying? Up until that point, Job's life, he had been very hedged in. And Satan even brought that up to God. He said, of course Job is going to be your servant. And
look at how, look at how you've treated
him. You let me get to him, which indicates the fact that we are boxed in. And God said, all right, I'm going to allow this door open. I'm going to allow that testing to come in. And we see that step that has to take place. And you may be in a circumstance right now. You may be this very hour receiving news that is going to take you a while to acknowledge that this indeed is true. A cancer report or a report of an accident or the loss of a loved one in some other scenario or news from the battlefront, that these things are true. And that we have to realize, okay, God, I'm going to thank you in this.
So the first step is to acknowledge. And Doc, as we kind of wrap up the broadcast and as we go into the next step, what is it that you've observed in people that help them to get to the acknowledgement step?
Well, to stop running their mind and stop and say, are you willing to say thank you, Lord, for this circumstance? Stop and say, the person is not coming back. That circumstance is not going to change. Your days will never be like you once knew. So just acknowledge that is indeed a fact.
And the acknowledgement, it comes in what you're talking about, thanking God for the circumstance.
Well, that certainly is the crucial step, because otherwise I have to say something got out of God's control. This is indeed the truth.
So the unknowns really are huge in the acknowledgement step, and we either have to keep our mind garrisoned by running to the known and what we know is God.
Yes.
And his personality and
yes.
his character. Thank you. You've been helpful to us, and we look forward to the next time we're together as we continue learning how to trust God through our personal trials. Until the next time we're together, may the Lord bless you.